And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's a great day today because, first of all, I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Jen Hellman.
Hi, everybody.
And special guest, you're going to love this guy. I already love him. Greg Morton, everybody.
Hey, how you doing? It's pretty good to be here. How you doing, y'all?
Fantastic. first of all, as you agree, I followed you on AGT, you know, because as a comedian, we always want our comedians to do well. You know, we don't want our comedians losing to dogs. I just mentioned AJ.
A dog act.
Because I'm ready.
What in great heaven, horny toad is that? How the heck did I lose to a dog act? That's despicable.
I mean,
but you never know what's going to happen on that show, right? You never know what's going to happen.
Who is the best? I mean that one girl who won that had the voice like a human being, like an adult, right? That girl, she was like, I kept thinking there's got to be some sort of mechanism coming out because that's not her. You know what I mean? Like that was amazing. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. It's crazy. Welcome to the show. And you got a great background. I got to find out more about you, Greg. You were a professional football player.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you about that story. First of all, I have a lot of followers and they're lazy and they want me to have my own Wikipedia page, but they're lazy. So they took over someone else's Wikipedia page and it's someone else with the same name as mine. And they only got two lines in. So hence the, wow. So yeah.
So I guess
everything about me is right for the first two lines. And then after that, everything else belongs to that other person.
Because there was a different photo. There was a different photo. I noticed that. I saw
they changed that too.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, all right. Well, there goes half my questions I was going to ask you. I mean, you know.
Listen, how do you think I feel? I got trapped one day talking to a guy about football for an hour. This guy's the hotel manager. I know nothing about football. I can't even play Madden for crying out loud. I haven't played Madden in almost 20 years, and I have no idea. I don't know anything about it. I have a little football handbook. I don't even know where that is. I've lost that, but I've never been able to follow football. So interesting story. I actually met this guy, same exact name, Gregory Allen Morton, except his middle name is different. Maybe one letter is different. I think he's A-L-L-E-N. So he's huge. His navel is up to my eyebrow. And I got to meet him at this cigar shop. And you know the funny stop?
Yeah.
You know the funny stop? Cuyahoga Falls. That's right. Yeah, you know Pete and Tony?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tony owns the cigar shop, right?
Yeah, I've been
there. He says, I know this guy, Greg Morton. Yeah, you should come down and meet him. He's like, so I went down to the cigar shop, and there he was. And I got to meet him. I got a picture taken beside him and everything. But he's a huge dude.
Well, you're not a small man either. How tall are you?
Well, he's darker too, so it means he'll get pulled over faster than me.
I didn't know darker. It not only does black not crack, but it also is obviously makes you look taller.
I'm wondering how many people approach him and start trying to have a conversation about comedy.
Tell me a joke. Hey guys, tell me That's a joke funny. While he tackles him. I guess
he punts them across the bar.
He gives him a straight hand, straight arm right to the face.
Well, you know what? I really hope that happens.
Player, he probably punches him.
I can picture that because, you know, I told somebody this. I've been in martial arts all my life and stuff. So you always have, when somebody finds out you're in martial arts, you know, they usually say something. You're like, oh, what would you do if I did this? And they try to hit you. So I remember telling one of my instructors that. I said, you know, this always bothers me. He goes, next time somebody does that, just smack them across the face, you know, before they actually hit you. So, you know, like the old bitch slaps, you know what I mean? So if somebody actually went, hey, what would you do if I, you know, you hit them, like, oh, why'd you do that? Well, you asked me what I would do if you were about to hit me. I'm going to smack you with an open hand so you can think
just
about
blame your reflexes.
Yeah, it's just natural reflexes.
No, at the show, I've had people walk by me and go, Michigan.
you're a Wolverine, man. You're a Wolverine. That's crazy.
Funny thing is, I used to have a Wolverine jacket, too.
You could. Oh,
really?
I did. What's that?
I'm sorry. You could at least use that in picking people up. You know, you tell them you're a football player, and they Google check, and...
I don't know. It works until they get to your car.
Hey, let me see you get in a 3-point stance. You know, well, you know, that's amazing. Oh, I'm glad now. I'll just erase half my questions and ask you about that. But that's a great story, right? I mean, yeah.
Well, that's why I'm thinking of just leaving it, because it's a great conversation opener.
It is, because here I am thinking I'm doing my due diligence. You know, I feel like I'm doing my research. Now I look like a complete idiot. I look like I work for CNN or MSNBC or something. And you appreciate
it. Well, can I ask you guys something? Either of you have a Wikipedia page?
No.
Just out of curiosity.
I tried. They didn't have it. No, it wouldn't work.
I have an IMDb. That's the only thing I have.
Well, I have an IMDb, and it keeps getting... confused with another Greg Morton. There's a Greg Morton actor that was on, oh gosh, what's the name of the show? Oh man. Well, let's Google it.
Right now, Greg Morton.
Let's Google it right now, yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yeah, remember that.
Scarecrow
show.
And Mrs. King, that's what it was. It just came to me. So my bio keeps resume keeps getting crossed with that IMDb, because I have a lot of things on my IMDb. I was an animator, and I did a lot of voiceovers for cartoons and back in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I get cross-pollinated there a lot. And I think I've straightened a lot of that out, but every once in a while, it tends to drift back together again.
Well, that's great, because people are going to think you're one hell of a Renaissance man. This guy was a ballerina. This guy was a ballerina. He was a longshoreman. You know. I mean,
well, may I also add? I'm on Greg Horton on IMDb is also a known actor from the movie Chasing Erections of 2005.
No, that's Horton. Greg Horton.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Typo. Sorry. I love that you know that Greg Horton was in Chasing Erections. 2005.
You got to know these things.
Yeah. Greg was not in the movie, but he watched it several times.
I was a fluffer.
He was the erection.
Well, everybody has a role. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody has a role in life.
Play that role.
You know, it's something that's God's calling. That's what that's called. You know, you hear the answer, and you hear the answer. That's what you do.
Hey, let me ask you about voiceover work, because I always wanted to do it. People said I should do it. I like cartoons. You know, I have.
Who are you talking to?
I'm telling you, like, it's got to be a great business, right? I mean, you're sitting in a booth.
Jen,
right?
Help me out here. Bust the other nut for me, will you? Who told him that he could do voiceovers? Please.
You could do the Italian guy. You could play the Italian guy. Or if we need maybe an Italian guy. And what's crazy is you're going to I wouldn't hire you to be a Spanish guy.
I am not.
Hey, how's it going?
How about this?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going?
Let me try.
Take three. Hey, how's it going, eh?
Let me try. Hey, how's it going, eh?
You know, the job is very difficult. I know how that talent, because I audition voiceover all the time when we get Greg back from that. If I have a client, so my civilian job, I create commercials. And if I have a client who can't afford a voiceover, I sometimes have to voice it myself for them. And I tell them, like, you're going to get, believe it or not, you're going to get my voice. And it takes me so many takes, 50, 60 takes. And then when I hire a voiceover artist, they're like, you're paying for one undone. You go in there and you cut the voice, right? There's no like 5,000 redos. Or have you ever been in that position where you're like, the pressure's on and you got to deliver and you're like, I mean, like in Chasing Around 2005.
I have several problems. I have a slight bit of dyslexia, so I'm always combating that. And I'll look at a word and I'll swear it's one word, and it turns out to be something else. Like last week, I thought I was going to West Vagina. I was positive that I had a gig there. Anyway, I couldn't find it on the map, and I realized I was, you know. So my eyes kind of shift. I've got a bit of a lazy eye. And so in the middle of copy, my eye will tend to drift, and I'll see two copies of the copy. Mm. That happens to me, too. It's just so I've just got to do eye exercises. But damn, that's too many damn exercises, you know.
did that happen back in the NFL or in college?
Sometimes you get hit, you know. Sometimes you get hit hard.
How many voices do you think you can do, sir?
Or do you? I've never really counted. After 20, I stopped. My thing is, I can hear it and I try and mimic it. I'm more of a vocal contortionist. Yeah. So if it's in my range, it's a lot like singing. And if something's within my range, then that's how I get the voice. So,
what's your favorite voice to do?
Okay, I'll give an example if I may. So when I was on AGT, they asked me if I could do the Lion King, and I go like, the Lion King. What? I never done that. So I just went, "Nah, sit on ya!" And they went, "What?" And they flipped out and go like, "Yeah!" And they were freaking. So they said, "Yeah, oh, this is going to be great." So we get on there, and a couple of days later, they come up to me and they said, "Greg, we've been talking to the lawyers." And I go, "Oh no!" I mean, because no sentence ever ends well when it begins with "we've been talking to the lawyers." They said, "Disney, they're not going to clear it." I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, The Lion King is in theaters right now, and they're just not." I said, "Well, this is practically an advertisement for The Lion King. Right. Why wouldn't they okay it?" Well, they just don't see it that way. Yeah. And I knew it was the perfect way to open up my set. And then the last day, the director comes up to me and he says, "Okay, listen, this is this is a live show, right?" I go, "Yeah, I know." He says, "Well, just do it anyway." "We'll say you went rogue."
Yeah.
So, but they have Disney is very particular about their clearance for everything. Like when I did Star Wars, I had to write down every single thing I was going to say, everything that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But even the Wookiee, how do you write that down?
Yeah.
I think how do you write that down?
Pound sign R. The Spanish N.
Crescendo that was too when you were doing that. Does that always happen when you do that whole thing? Because it was like they were waiting for the Wookiee. There was a whole crescendo to the characters, and when you busted out Chewbacca, they just fell out. It was like the whole place came down.
Well, the first time I did it, it was completely improvised. I was on stage collecting my gear, and the bartender at this club was a huge Star Wars fan, and he started playing Star Wars. So I walked up to the mic and I started going, and doing all these different voices. He goes like, "What are you doing? This should be in your act." Yeah. I go, "Yeah, I never thought about that. You know, I've been trying to write jokes all this time." So, silly me. So I put that into my show. And one time there was I started working on it. Just gradually, I would bring it in, as a bit. And then I thought maybe I should do it as a piece, just all one piece. Mm-hmm. And that's what was suggested to me by an old comic. His name was Uncle Dirty. I don't know if you know Uncle Dirty. You know him? Yeah. From the 60s. Yeah. He used to hang out with Richard Pryor. He was good friends with Richard Pryor. And he used to tell me great Richard Pryor stories and stories about what it was like doing comedy back in the day and that. And he had an album and it was number one. It was a great album too. Just excellent. So And he said, you know, kid, what you should do, that bit that you're doing, don't put that at the end of your act. Put that at the beginning of your act. If you put that at the beginning, you'll never have to work so hard ever again. Because it establishes that, you know, boom, this is it. This is the guy.
Yeah.
You know, it, like I kind of liken stand-up comedy to being taking a ride with a stranger. You don't know if you want to get in the car. You want to hear a little bit about the person's background. Yeah. You know, maybe check their financial records. I don't know. So, you know, you need to feel confident before you can progress and laugh and go on a journey with this person. But with something like that, boom, immediate confidence of the audience.
Yeah, and it's everybody loves it. Everybody associates with it. And it's impressive. You know, it's interesting, the selection of what you open with, because I've been doing some comedy festivals. And usually when I start my regular feature set or headline set, it's always, you know, I start out slow and I come out a little bit, get to know me. You know, my opening joke is generally I'm in a good mood because I fit in this shirt, you know, so it kind of establishes, you know, what I'm about, you know, what you can expect.
Right.
And,
right.
But recently I started thinking, you know what, I think I'm going to come out, especially for like these festivals, you know, 5 minute, 7 minute sets. I'm going to come out with bam, you know, something just huge, just something very off the, like,
right.
Like make, wow, what the hell, you know?
And why not? Number one, you've got everyone's attention.
Exactly. Right?
And number two, what? What's number two?
They're ready. They want to hear more, right?
They want to hear more. Exactly.
And they're looking forward, because you do that. It's like, oh, what's, you know, what's next? You know, watch the 4th of July fireworks and all of a sudden, bah, boom, bah, holy shit.
You know what else is funny that I learned? Let's see. Up in Canada, there's a chain of comedy clubs, Yuck Yucks, owned by Mark Breslin. Created by Mark Breslin. Anyway, he said to me one day, you know, you should wear a suit. And I was never comfortable in a suit, you know, on stage. I loved suits, but I always felt it made me too stiff.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know what? Whenever somebody says something to me like that, or they give me advice, I always feel the onus is on me to try it. Mm-hmm. At least try it once to see if there's any truth to it. So I go like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to wear suits and see what happens. And it was cool because it subverted the expectations of the audience.
Wow.
So because I was making a left turn with a right hand, you know, with a right-handed suit, so to speak. It looked like I was coming up to represent you in court or do your taxes, but I was doing a comedy routine and just a silly, zany, wild, crazy thing. And they don't even see it coming. So, I'm a big fan of the old school stuff. You know, the way comedians always used to dress up.
Yeah.
You never saw comedians in jeans. Or, you know, or rolled up. I don't know. It's a showbiz thing for me.
I think you're 100% right. I recently worked with a good friend of mine, newer comic, Ronaldo Evans, very funny kid. Mm-hmm. And he had a suit. He looked great, you know. And yeah. he said he learned that. It was advised to him similarly when he was on one of these comedy festivals. And he started noticing that he was funnier than some people, but because they had the suit and they had that presentation, they were getting the votes. They were, you know, so he started wearing a suit and he realized the difference. Yeah. Now you mentioned comfort, and you know, that's like funny. I wear a t-shirt like this. Sometimes I put a jacket on, like a comfortable casual jacket, but I don't look like I'm just wearing a t-shirt. And a pair of nice dress jeans and a pair of colorful sneakers, you know, like right. I like my Chuck Taylors. I usually have purple or blue or red Chuck Taylors. I used to wear it. Right. So, but there's something about that. Like, I started thinking that too. I was like, maybe I'm just going to wear it. I'm just going to come out and be this Italian mafia looking guy, but he's got a suit on. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to listen right. to it. You know, you never know.
That'd be great for you, right. Dougie.
I'm just so fat. I hate wearing suits.
Oh, really? Weight gain has been a great thing for me. You know, 11 years ago when I first started, so women really, that's a real challenge for us. You guys have some options. Am I dressing down or am I putting on a jacket? Whereas women have a lot to choose. I mean, now you see a lot of women now go with like the classic, I always call it like the classic female comedian. It's the Converse with the jeans and a flannel and you know, and it looks the same. But really, when I first started, I used to wear, I was very cute on stage. And, you know, even though it was funny, and some people warned me, like, well, you're going to alienate the women and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't find that to be true. I'm like, women are actually really like me and find me relatable. And it wasn't until, and then I remember seeing on Last Comic Standing, I think it was Damon Wayans or somebody said something to Ida Rodriguez, who was so funny. And he says, well, you're too distracted with that, with the dress and everything. And I was kind of angry that he said that, because I'm like, she should be able to get up there and dress however she wants. But when I gained a lot of weight during COVID, and even before that, I started putting on weight. And my personality changed with the weight too. And now I'm in like a long dress and some sneakers and a jean jacket. And it's the best of both worlds, because A, I'm comfortable on stage, physically comfortable. And B, I do feel that people are warmer and more engaged. They're paying attention more to my personality. And I feel like it matches my personality more. The being dressed that way. So I kind of was able to nail it on all fronts, but I wish I would have took that advice 11 years. Like you said, if somebody suggests something, at least try it. I wish I would have done that 11 years ago, because I find I'm having more success by not being so cute. I mean, cute, right. You know what I mean? Not that there's no distractions.
You don't want to get on stage and dress like a whore. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, if that's your,
yeah. Actually, and I was 11 years ago. I was a whore. Yeah. So no, no, but I mean, I'm still a whore. Debbie. do not mistake that.
Opening, no.